Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Late Night Local Talent. My name is Ella Mitchell, and I'm here with lead singer Adamo of Go Static. Go Static is a rock band originating from Cleveland, known for their modern electronic industrial sound and their love for all things paranormal. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm really excited to talk with you.
Nice to see you. Nice to meet you. Yeah, we're more like a rock thing. You know, it started off very electronic, but I realized it started as a studio project, just something I was kind of just doing on my own. But then when I started bringing band members in and thinking, how are we going to translate this live? The songs ended up becoming more of a live rock recording. So it's evolved over the last 2-3 years.
I feel like that's like the beauty of rock, though. Like, it's so fluid. It's ever evolving, which is very fun.
Yeah, you would think until you listen to some of the rock stations, mainstream ones, and you're like, well, their musical choices, the music directors aren't evolving, but the music can.
Yeah.
I just choose not to let that happen for some reason. I'm not directing that.
No.
So you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, I've definitely heard my fair share of that. But just like jumping right into things, I was really curious over your name and just your love for the supernatural. And I was just wondering if, one, you believe in ghosts, which I feel like is an obvious yes. I was wondering, like,
based on personal experience, sure, yeah.
Do you have any like ghost encounters you'd like to share?
So yeah, the funny thing is, like, the name Ghost Static being like a common, you know, it's one word combined. They just share the letter S. That came out as a typo when I was trying to explain to somebody this like experiment I was doing to try and contact the afterlife. So it's not the name of the experiment, but it's kind of the byproduct of it. So if you take an old camcorder, and you remember the red, white, and yellow inputs and outputs on tube TVs?
Yeah.
If you got one of those, and you got a camcorder, and you plug the camcorder directly into the TV, let's say video one, and then you point it at the TV, and you set the TV to video one, and you turn it on, and you record the screen, you get all types of static, and sometimes it looks like an image of a silhouette of something like you would consider a ghost, but it's very like, you know, it's staticky. So I ended up typing that word out by accident like that, and I left it, and I was like, I kind of like that. So then I just ran with it.
It's so fun. Like, it just like really just rolls off the tongue, like go static. I love it. Yeah. It reminds me of like a Pokemon too, which I think is very cool.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that.
But yeah, I remember, I think it was like History Channel. I forget the TV show of it, but like, I think like Paranormal Encounters, whatever. I thought that TV show was so cool though, and how they'd have like all that, you know, like technology to talk to the ghosts.
So many shows like that. I don't know if you took a look at my TikTok. Did you?
I have not.
So I have a massive following on there.
Oh, really?
And it was more paranormal based than the music. And I was on Paraflix hosting a show on there about the
paranormal. I did see something about Paraflix.
And then I also had signed a contract with two production companies. I don't know if I should name the second one. I was pitched on like three different shows, two for Discovery Plus and another one for A&E before they kind of did their little merger thing.
Yeah.
To host a show about the paranormal. And it started around COVID, so everything kind of got messed up and all these streaming channels sort of merged and fired a bunch of people. And now the one production company who had two shows running, what do you want to call it? They're gone. And
they're just like eating each other, I feel.
Yeah, they're basically swallowing each other up. And Painless is the other one. I'll just name it. Painless Productions. They had like, they did do the Dead Files. They do Ghost Brothers. They did a bunch of other ones. And they pitched me for three shows. Ghost Nation actually made it, but I didn't do that one. And I kind of went hard with the paranormal stuff. And it's funny, I took a little break from it for like the past year to double down on the music because I could go into this whole thing I got going on with Splice, if any of you guys who produce music are listening. It's a website where you upload samples and people can buy them from you, but you can't do it anymore unless you're on a label that's under Splice. So I got to deal with this label called Black Octopus, and now I'm doing all my singles and plus some other like B-sides that I don't even release ever. I'm releasing those under this label, and I'm sampling out all the parts of my song so people just download my vocal and put it on whatever, royalty-free. And I still retain 100% on that on the streaming end, at least. So
we worked
out a nice little deal with that. But yeah, I started going into that and then all this other stuff. I just wanted to make some like residual long-term investments and actually get paid with music, which is not easy these days to
find unfortunately.
An avenue for that other than just touring, which is hard to do when everybody's got their jobs and their life. So yeah, I just doubled down on the music. But prior to that, and it's coming up now, I'm going to start doing it again. In fact, I'm going to be at the Mansfield Reformatory again May 19th for a Paraflix event. I don't know. We're going to do some, out some new equipment and see what happens.
Nice. I went to the Reformatory once for a haunted house and it was so awesome.
Yeah.
We got to like walk through like all the jail cells and like people would like jump out and grab you. It was so cool.
Oh, you went when it was an actual haunted house. Okay. Okay.
I would definitely recommend if like that's your thing. I don't know. I to me, like, I feel like getting scared is pretty fun. So like,
yeah.
I feel like I should maybe like delve into like... Ghost hunting.
That's scary, but if something touches you and they're not an actor, then you really know what fear is. And that's happened to me a couple times. Twice, actually.
That's so interesting.
Based on the places I've been. I've been all over the world. I used to live in England.
Huh, that's so cool.
And I did a few places out there. I did Denby Asylum, Poole Park Asylum, New Sham, but we didn't get fully in there because we didn't like go about it a legal way. So the person I was with at the time, who was English, she lived there. We kind of knew somebody, but it ended up, they fell through, so we didn't get in.
Oh, no.
And then there was, like, guard dogs there, too, which was weird. Like, it was scary.
That's freaky. I guess just one final question about, like, the ghost hunting, since, like, I think that's so fun, but, like...
Go right ahead.
When you're, like, you know, like, going about that, you know, like, what kind of, like, draws you to, like, tracking down these ghosts? Like, what do you want to like learn from them? What do you find so interesting about that?
I guess a quick backstory could kind of fill that in. I was doing this since I was a teenager, since I was really young, like 16. And then I started using like old camcorders with the Sony's had a nice infrared night shot. I started using that. And then I was basically kind of copying what I saw Ghost Hunters do, that show. I don't know if you remember that one. They've been on and off forever. And I caught something that just destroyed me. So we were in this abandoned insane asylum in Broadview Heights.
It's
torn down. But back then, nobody knew about it. And so when we got in, a friend of mine and I, I'm not going to tell you how we got in, but we got in and we knocked this door open and we stared down this hallway. And it was my first time ever seeing something like this. And it was a long, black, dark hallway. The walls and the ceilings were just falling apart. There were gurneys still there. There was medical paperwork.
Oh, wow.
It was like everybody just up and left. And it had been abandoned for about, at least 20 years.
Yeah.
So I had this old 35 millimeter disposable camera. Do you remember those
at
all? Okay. So we took three shots, the last three shots on it, I had on a random camera with me in that hallway. And I took them and I had them developed. I developed them myself, actually, because I worked at a photo lab. This is
nice.
How crazy and how long. I was a teenager when this was going on. Once they were developed, I saw all the rest of the pictures. And the last three pictures we see down this hallway, they're both the two of them were fine. The last one, you could see this bluish hue.
Oh, wow.
And a silhouette of a lady standing in front of us. Like it looked like she was wearing a medical gown and dark hair, but no face. It was just black right here. And it wasn't like very detailed, but you could see it in this blue mist. And you guys, if anybody knows anything about like old school cameras, the type of photo you get when you capture something like that, it was like class A. I sent it to some website. It was featured for like years on there, but I lost that photo, unfortunately.
No.
And then I've got other footage from the following week we went there that was just crazy. I'm having a friend of mine, he's going to look at his house to see if you can find that tape, because we haven't seen that in many years. Those two events that happened.
I don't think I really had any, like, otherworldly encounters. But, like, I just think it's so cool to, like, hear about it. Like, I like humoring it, I guess. I think it's cool. I hate how people are just like, it's not real. But it's like, how can you prove it's not real, you know?
How can you prove it is or not? Really, a lot of the stuff that goes on, you know, you see a lot of just grainy footage. And a lot of it is that... I always forget the word, but it's where you see faces in just about anything. It's pareidolia or something like that.
I can look it up.
Where you see faces in just anything, like smoke or wood grain on walls and paneling or whatever. You could see them in patterns on the carpet. Like here, you could find them. And people just think they see faces and everything when actually it's just playing tricks on them. But I've had, you know, real experiences where things have said something to me when nobody was around, or I got tapped. My shirt got pulled and somebody's hair got pulled when I was in another location. And enough for me to be like, yeah, there's something going on here. But as of late, I haven't been doing much intense investigations. I'm kind of on this AM kick. I get up early now and trying to like be healthy, which is odd. I mean, I take care of myself, but being up early is odd.
So I looked it up. It's called face, I'm going to butcher this, but pareidolia?
Pareidolia. I was close. I was close.
So for those wondering, that's what that's called. Enough with the ghost chat. So you mentioned about the label Black Octopus and the like the little sample packs you made. I was just wondering if you just like explain that more, since like I think that's super interesting and I love how beneficial it is for you.
It is when they sell.
Yeah.
So it did. My first pack did really well, especially for being a first pack. And it's that one's going to be on Splice May 24th. And I've got two more in the pipeline, each of them containing 3 to 4 songs. Four songs each, I believe.
Okay.
Total. So you're getting like, I don't know, a gig and a half, maybe I would say. Like samples of guitars, my vocals, wet and dry, harmonies, you name it. Every piece, all the drum fills, everything. Because when all the music you hear, I produce, I write it, I produce it, I perform it on the recordings, and I mix it, and I master it. So I have complete control of the projects, and Logic is what I use. So I can just go in there whenever I want and kind of like mess around and do these things. I wasted so much of my life learning how to be good at this. I'm hoping maybe this will help pay off all that time I spent, you know, my 10,000 hours that I put in. But we'll see. I don't think it'll ever catch up to the amount of time you spend if you're a passionate artist in whatever field it is of artistry.
I'm hoping for the best, though.
I'm not really chasing the dollar, though. What would you say? I'm sorry.
I said I'm hoping for the best, though.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome. We talked about a little bit on the walk up here, but we were talking about the eclipse, which happened this week, which was amazing. Yeah. And you
wasn't
were...
Wasn't it?
It was so
like,
cool.
It was like a spiritual thing, you know?
I just remember looking at it and just like, honestly, like I teared up a bit. It was just like, just so beautiful.
Yeah,
just like,
she said she got teary-eyed as well. I wasn't with her when it happened because I was busy doing what, you know, I guess we could segue into that.
Yes, please do.
So I thought, hey, what a good time, because this never happens. And there's conflicting time stretches in which they say the next eclipse is going to happen. But I think specifically in Cleveland, I think it's going to be a long time.
Yeah.
Like we're going to be goners by the time it comes back. So if you want to see a really good eclipse, you're going to have to go somewhere. But I thought it would be a good time to maybe film something. So I've got another song coming out. I don't even know if I should drop the name of it. I haven't even sent it out for distribution yet. But it would be 6 weeks from whatever date that is. And that should be coming. That day is going to come within the next week to figure it out. So I've got another song. And maybe I could just, I don't know if I should say it. It's called The Blame Game. Okay. We'll just put it out there.
Ooh.
And this one is more industrial kind of rock.
Yeah.
But it's got like a chorus that's more like radio rock friendly. And I decided to film it, the eclipse, in a way in which I could get it to. So I took the song and I stretched it to be twice as long or twice as slow, I should say. And I recorded myself with the eclipse happening over my shoulder on my iPhone. And like I said, I don't know how the quality is going to be. I looked at it. It seems all right. I'm sure if I could just put some distorted overlay on it, it'll look like it makes sense. Like I did that intentionally, which is not true. I just didn't have a nice camera with me at the time. And I sang the song in a slow motion. And in post, I'm going to have, either if I'm going to do the whole video, or maybe I'll have a shout out to Jeff Hartman, AKA Bitmod. Check him out. He's really good work. He did my last music video. He does like almost all our photo shoots.
Beautiful.
Either I might have him do it or not. Doesn't matter. I'm going to speed it up back to regular speed, and it's going to look like I'm kind of moving at regular speed. I tried my best. But the sky behind me is lapsing twice as fast, so you're going to see the clip. And I timed it to where the eclipse like passes over just about midway through.
Oh, that's cool.
Not going to be the whole video, but we're going to use clips of that for sure.
That's awesome. I'm glad you got to do that. Like, that would just be such a unique and just like once in like a blue moon or eclipsed moon type of video. That's so cool, though. I'm
glad I did it too, because I have it on camera, but I didn't get to fully experience the eclipse, you know, because I was busy trying to sing a song in slow motion. So, but I did, you know, I was there and it, that's enough. I think I might go see another one.
I think there's another one like happening in this August, but like in Mexico, I think.
Mexico? Okay.
Yeah, I keep seeing like ads like saying like, hey, please send like your gently used eclipse glasses to people in Mexico because there's another eclipse coming up, which I think is very nice.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. But yeah, that eclipse was amazing. I'm also just very glad I got to be there, be with my friends, watch that. Also, like we were also saying, like it was also so cool that it like happened in like Cleveland and Akron of all places, so we can be like, haha. Like I remember seeing like a video of like people watching it at Niagara Falls, and like it was all cloudy, and they're like, what?
Yeah, it was like it finally, you know, whatever you believe in, allowed this to happen in Cleveland.
It worked in our favor, which was amazing.
I live streamed it actually on my TikTok, thinking, okay, we are in a prime location. And put my iPad out. I think there people are like, "Oh, you're gonna fry your camera." I'm like, "Whatever." I put it out at first when it was too bright, and the whole thing overheated. So I had to stop it and bring it back out about 10 minutes before it happened, and so everybody else got to see it on there. It's fun. Ghost Static is what it is on TikTok, and Ghost Static on Instagram, and Ghost Static on Facebook, and whatever you use.
Go check it out, gang.
Yeah.
But I remember you talking about a song in an earlier answer, and you mentioned that it was more industrial leaning, and what drew me to your music and the band was that while you do say that you are more rock leaning now, that you do have some industrial influences. And you know, I really love industrial music, as we were talking about earlier, and you know, like I just really wanted to like I guess just know about, you know, like what drew you to this genre, you know, like what do you think makes it so unique compared to I guess other forms of rock.
So again, like when you start talking about industrial, the people are really industrial because you're not going to hear a lot of those elements in necessarily. I draw from it a little bit. I couldn't even, to be honest with you, I can't really categorize what we do because, yeah, you know those micro genres, people are real sensitive about what you say. Oh, that's not industrial because you don't have this and that, whatever.
And then I feel like people also just like make up genres and they're like, no,
it's an old genre that hasn't really seen any life in terms of somebody trying to do something with it that's a little more melodic and vocally driven. It's usually some heavily distorted person just talking or yelling into a microphone. And it's either like really heavy guitars or it's just noise. And like this, I like the noises of it. I like the metal industrial sound. So I put a little bit of that in all the songs. Well, for the most part. But I was drawn to it because of that. And obviously because of like really early influences like Nine Inch Nails, who made it more commercial, and a lot of people say that's not
gave it a lot of the pop sensibilities that you were talking about with more melody.
He bridged the gap. And he's definitely A1 on the list of guys who have pioneered that type of sound, and he's really the only person who's made it so big on a whole different scale. You know, he did it, and I feel like there's a calling for that space. I didn't do it because of there was a calling. I was genuinely, I like that style of music. I think it's different. It's weird. I think there's ironically in Cleveland, there are a couple other bands that have come out that are kind of in that vein. I know for many years, there's a band called Ventana, which is like some of the guys from Mushroomhead. That sounds kind of industrial. We played a show with another band that sounds like more like industrial metal. Both those guys, like Ventana and this other one, are more industrial metal. We're like, as opposed to industrial rock. And or electronic rock, whatever you want to call it. They were called Ghosts of Tomorrow, or my friend Jason's in it. I forget how the name of the band is. But yeah, shout out to them. We played a show with them, and all three bands, I think, had the word ghost in their names.
Love the running theme.
Funny,
I've also really liked the, you know, like more heavy, I guess more like unapproachable noises that industrial can have. But like you were saying with like Trent and Nine Inch Nails, I think there is that opportunity, which Trent obviously took, to like make it more accessible to larger audiences.
More emotional and more dynamic.
You
know, it's not just noisy tracks. He's got very like moody, dissonant, ambient songs. But then he's got really heavy, you know, in your face, like odd, you know, distortion. And me personally, I think The Fragile, even though The Downward Spiral is like got so many great songs, I think The Fragile was the production, and I know Bob Ezrin produced it. He's an OG producer who's one of my like favorites. He produced a bunch of stuff going all the way back to like Pink Floyd. they worked on that album tirelessly. Now, there wasn't necessarily a single off of that dual disc, but there were so many good songs and so many good, like, interesting timing changes, which you don't hear any of that anymore. No. I don't know what's going on. Like, I need to, like, take somebody's job at some of these big radio stations, because they just, it's so in the box. Like, this song that I, No Turning mm-hmm. Back, my latest single, yeah. we'll probably chit-chat about a little bit. That's my most commercially sounding rock song mm-hmm. I've written. And I did it on purpose because I got a guy, I talked to Jose when we played Incarceration. I met Jose when we played Incarceration. And my friend Jesse Lee, who's from Cleveland, is the other host on Octane.
Nice.
So they both work on Octane. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to just see if we can get that song on there and get it through the, I forget what it's called, their show where they have like new bands play. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, if I'm going to give them something, it's going to be this one. So that's what I focused on. So, because they got that genre. It's its own genre. Mm-hmm. People call it octane core. And it's a very specific kind of rock.
Yeah. I remember listening to The Fragile for like the first time in full, and my mind was just blown. Like, you're right. They don't make music or albums like that anymore. And like, I hate to sound like, you know, a boomer being like, meh, music stinks now. But like, they really don't. And
no.
It's so disappointing.
Artists, there's artists that do. They're just not being put at the forefront mm-mm. because the people who own the industry now are not mm-mm. looking for any of that. They guide it. The gatekeepers, it's backwards. Labels have been, the music industry has been like the largest racketeering operation ongoing since of all time. Like, more than the mob, or more than the mobsters and gangsters of the 20s, more than, you know, anything. They're just, the way the system is ran, the industry is weird. And it's always, you know, you always hear the stories, how bad it is and how negative it is. And they just, somebody somewhere decides that they want to sway the youth of a generation to mm-hmm. listen to a certain style of music. They will invest everything in that. And they'll do it for like a decade to two decades to capture at least a generation and a half. And next thing you know, all these great artists from the prior generation of just, and all the artists who follow mm-hmm. suit with them are suddenly just left in the dust.
Right. It's such a brutal industry. And like, I hate seeing how it affects, you know, like artists such as you, like just like streaming services like Spotify, Ticketmaster, like they're just so terrible. And it's just like, in an ideal world, like they should be helping the artists, but like they're just working for their own gain, which is not how it should be, you know?
They take advantage of artists because true artists only have one goal, and that's just to get their art out there to be heard and hopefully recognized and just appreciated. And mm-hmm. then do with it what you want, but you've got right-brained people who are artists, you know, lefties like me. A lot of them are. I mean, I don't know if that's just coincidence or whatever, but we left-handers occupy like some 40-50% mm-hmm. of like the songwriting industry. And we're only like, what, 12% of the population? I don't know. But the people who are running all these, the industry in general, the CEOs, the executives, they're all business-oriented. They don't use that other part of their mind. They don't know what it is. They try to a song organically blows up, then they try to find a formula within that. They hire all these producers who are willing to just do whatever for these people.
Try to make it into like
and then make 30 different versions of it.
Like
for
a TikTokable package, because that's...
Yeah, and that's, yeah, that would be the other one. TikTok has kind of taken suit as like the way to trend a song.
Because like you'll listen to music and it's like, okay, like these 30 seconds are good. And then you listen to the whole song, you're like, ooh,
yeah.
Where's the rest of the song outside of these 30 seconds?
Yeah, right. They're just looking for that quick. And I don't blame them. I mean, it's a product of its mm-hmm. own design. That's what social media does. It just fries your dopamine receptors, and you just want 5 seconds of enjoyment, and then you're on to the next thing. So there's no room for a 3-minute, 30-second long song. And that
no
was
room
considered
for an
short.
Album.
That was considered short 20 years ago, mm-hmm. 15 years ago, whatever. Now it's like you got to come up with a 30-second song, really, and then you just have to evolve. You know, I'm not gonna keep doing that. I'm not gonna keep playing that game. I'm just gonna do what I want to do.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how people are kind of like addressing that. But I guess in like a similar way, when I was researching you, I saw that in a 2022 interview, you were stating that you think that singers nowadays have more of like a watered down predictability. And I was just wondering, you know, like, how do you try to keep your music as static, like unpredictable and exciting to kind of like
Okay, I don't want, I want to just paraphrase that. It's not every singer.
Yeah.
Lots of great singers out there, lots of great songwriters. Again, as I was probably referencing more to the fact that it's the type of music that's being targeted as commercially playable is super predictable. Mm-hmm. But your average music consumer is not, you're not expecting them to listen to anything that's overly complicated. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they were really like that, classical music would be number one on the charts, but it's not like that because it's, you know, our ears have been trained to find very simple nursery rhyme type melodies, and that's what you go with. If you're not a musician, you know, I try to be like a producer's producer or like a musician's musician. My stuff isn't, I don't think it's all that super creative or anything like that. I try to step away from the predictability, and I try to pull instruments out to give vocals time to shine and do, you know, odd harmonies here and there. I used to do stuff with my old band with a lot of different time signatures, but I haven't done much of that with this project. I don't even know if I have any in the pipeline like that, because Tool was always like a big influence when I was younger, and even bands that were super heavy like Meshuggah, and then Periphery came out and took that to a whole nother level. Now that's, but those, again, there's formulas that have come out with all these different genres, and now labels just, you know, they find a very specific formula that they want to put out, and that's it. And they probably request singers to be like that as well. It's a whole, it's a pressure system. I don't think singers want to be like that. Mm-hmm. The ones who are getting the big recognition, I think, I would at least hope not. Right. I know they get, I've sat in sessions, like big sessions with bigger artists, and I know they get guided into doing some things. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I wouldn't do that, you know, try something different. But you could hear, like, when a chorus hits, it's just a four chord change. It's four to the, you know, four over four beat. And usually the vocal is just repeat, the melody is repeated twice when the chord changes once. And then it's just like, wow, you can't deny it though. If you listen to certain stations, you're like, I don't know who's who anymore. They all have, like, and bands that have come from back in the day who are hardcore, or they come from more of the metal, or they're more hardcore. They're kind of a mix of both. But when they get on this one particular station, they only make a song that sounds like exactly what that station only plays. So
kind of just ditching their roots.
Yeah. But in music, predictability and catchiness kind of come hand in hand. So for me, I've been making music for a long time. So it takes a lot to tickle my fancy.
Right.
Takes a lot. So I guess I've become a little bit more cynical. I don't know if I'm the person to ask even anymore. I feel like I've been so, I don't know, overstimulated, overindulged, and jaded. And
Since you were talking about some, you know, like other rock acts such as like metal, more hardcore, I saw that you performed at Incarceration last year and for those who aren't aware, I'd say that's probably one of Ohio's like premier rock / metal festivals, since I know there's also Sonic Temple over in Columbus, but Incarceration is held at the Mansfield Reformatory. It's also like a tattoo ironic, festival,
right? And tattoos,
which I think is really cool. But
got plenty of those.
Yeah, very cool. I was just wondering if you could tell us more about that experience. Like, that's always just been a super like interesting festival to me, I feel.
It was cool. It was, I mean, as an artist, especially when you're not one of the bigger artists on the package, because we were kind of local. Mm-hmm. Like, they picked us. I think they had maybe like three local bands over that 3-day period.
Everybody well, that's else great was that they chose
touring.
You.
Touring. Yeah, yeah. It was cool. We played a little bit earlier. So, I don't know. It was a little stressful for us because we were like, whoa, dude, we're about to play in front of a ton of people. Like, what do we got to do? So then, and you have to do, there's a lot of back end stuff that you got to do, technical stuff that you have to have sorted before you even touch a stage there. And it was great. The experience, like the overall 3-day experience, because we had artist passes, so we were able to just hang out and, you know, meet a bunch of people, hang out with, like, I don't know, I was talking to Gavin from Bush, I don't know, there's a few other guys. Who else did I speak to? My friend Dustin from Starset, hadn't seen him in a long time. We used to play shows with them, with my old band back in the day. You know, the guys from Octane, like Jesse and Jose, and I don't know, it was cool just to meet the people. Almost as much as it was to play it. But we were on foot the day before and the day after, just out in the crowds talking to people, just kind of spreading the word, because it's really hard to do that in an organic way these days. If you got to pay thousands of dollars to play, you know, for a promoter. But we are looking for management right now, which I think we need because I'm a bit inundated with all the stuff that I'm doing. We had a bit of, we kind of have a manager, we kind of don't. I don't know. But it was great.
Yeah.
All in all, it was great. Sorry, I got a little sidetracked.
No, you're good.
There. All in all, it was a really fun experience. We won't be back this year. I don't know if I should announce the other festival we're playing over here this year. There's another one that happens. It's not as big, but it's in Summit County.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a good clue as to which one it is. I can't confirm anything on there. I think Todd, my guitar player, said he couldn't we're on it, but mm-hmm. he couldn't announce it. I don't know.
Weird contract.
If they play, things. I mean, if I think we're supposed to play Summit Fest. We're going to probably play Summit Fest, nice. Which is pretty cool.
What was it like just, you know, like meeting, performing with, you know, bands who may have, you know, inspired your sound, etc. at incarceration?
It was really cool. It was cool. It was like nothing. Yeah, I can't say anything negative about mm-hmm. it. It was great. And I'm a little connected with it now too, mm-hmm. you know, being a spectator and being a performer as well. It's odd to just kind of be both. But I appreciate it. I did appreciate that. Hopefully more to come.
Yes, fingers crossed. Yeah, yeah, I thought crossed. I think that would be like just a super cool thing to do. And
I'd really like to just go overseas.
Yeah,
and do that more because people in Europe they really appreciate genres outside of what the mainstream mm-hmm. is here. Like it's right now it's just like you're either hip hop or you're some form of it, or you know the ones who get that get the paycheck.
Right.
Is what I'm saying. Like they so. Some label contacted us today from over there. I don't know what that's about. Maybe that's something promising, but
also anyways. Hopping back to the manager thing. If anyone's interested in being a manager for Ghost Static, hit them up.
I guess we could say that publicly. We're in the market right now.
Earlier you were talking about a new single. And I was just wondering, do you have like any other news for fans of Ghost Static? Do you want to talk more about that new song coming out?
Yeah. I would suggest you check out the one that just came out a few weeks ago called No Turning Back.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably, like I said, the most like the chorus is very, it's a very catchy song.
Yes.
From what I've heard. I mean, I wrote it. I could say that all I want, but it could sound like trash to somebody else. So I'd say, yeah, that's a very radio kind of esque, but not as maybe as predictable as some of the other ones. I don't know. And then we've got another one coming out. I can't give you a date for it, but it's called Blame Game mm-hmm. or The Blame Game. And that one, we're working on a concept for the video. Part nice. Of it's going to have the eclipse in it.
Cool.
And yeah, I'm getting back to the paranormal investigative stuff, if that's what you associate the Ghost Static brand with, because it's kind of evolved into a few different things. Yeah, I'm going, like I said, I'll be in Mansfield. If you want to see, I'll probably live stream from there May 19th.
Cool.
And what I'll do most likely, and this is on the paranormal front, is I'll live stream and I'll go walk the cell block alone. Mm-hmm. I don't like doing it in the middle of the night, but I'll probably do that if you guys want to see me freak out. Because last time something happened, I don't know what it was. I felt like somebody like stepped out right behind Ooh. Me, and it was that whole block was like nobody was there.
Mm-hmm.
And the one guy said, "Yeah, go down go around tier 4 or tier 3 and." By yourself and tell me if anything happens. I'm like,
okay.
And it was said during while I was live. So it's like, I couldn't turn, you know, I couldn't mm-hmm. be like, no, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
Yeah. So Blame Game coming out within the next, I don't know, 6 weeks, I would say. And 6 to 8 weeks max. And then, yeah, some more paranormal content coming towards you. Yeah. Got a couple locations we're going to do. Mansfield. And then there might be one out in PA, and then there's another local one I'm probably going to do with a friend of mine. If anybody plays Magic the Gathering, I don't know, it's a dorky game, but I play it. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. I'm more of a D&D fan, I'd say.
Okay. So I've been playing Magic for years, and my friend has childhood friend has a real big YouTube channel mm-hmm. that's dedicated to just Magic.
Oh, that's
His name's
cool.
Bad Boy Gaming. He's big in that community, and so he comes with me on some of the paranormal mm-hmm. investigations. I'm going to drag him out for these next two if you're into that stuff.
Nice. Before we wrap up, do you have anything else you'd like to say? Any last minute promotion?
Yeah, just check us out. It's Ghost Static, GHOSTATIC, one word. They share the letter S. Ghost Static, not Ghostastic. Ghost Static. You can check us out on all our socials. I try to stay active on them, you know, mostly Instagram, even though it's not our big one. The TikTok's the big one, but mm-hmm. it's, yeah, I try to stay on top of things there. And if not, just shoot me an email or something. I'd chit-chat with anybody. Or DM me. I'll chit-chat.
Well, thank you again so much for joining me. It was super fun talking with you. Everyone, make sure to check out No Turning Back, Blame Game, and best of luck with everything coming Ghost Static's way. And peace out, everyone.
Thank you very much, Ella.